folks. We're going to be joined shortly by Brian Bodine to talk about the way that the GOP establishment is handling this division. Now, what if I told you, that the entire Epstein file saga is a giant psyop out of Israel, specifically because Trump is not actually pro-Israel? Does that sound crazy? Does that sound like some QAnon stuff? Does that sound wildly anti-Semitic to you? Because that's what they say they're doing. Okay, this is from the Times of Israel, the blog from Yosef Janowski, called Trump, Israel, and the Epstein Files. I'm just going to read this verbatim. See if we can get through in this first 5 minutes. Trump and his administration criticized Netanyahu and Israel, and now the Epstein Files are haunting him. Okay, that's really all you need to know, but I'll continue. Well, we're going to read it again. Trump and his administration criticized Netanyahu and Israel, and now the Epstein Files are haunting him. For a long time, the files had subsided in the background. They weren't considered to be much of a threat to Trump, but all of a sudden, right after he started up with Israel, the files surfaced, and they seemed to be overwhelming him. Trump blasted Bibi after shrapnel hit a church in Gaza. The church is in a war zone. It was not targeted. Rather, shrapnel from a nearby explosion hit it. Still, Trump berated Bibi and demanded he publicly express regret. After Israel bombed places in Syria in order to protect the Druze, administration officials from the White House referred to Bibi as a madman. It seems Trump's ambitions, maybe to sign business and oil deals with Syria, or maybe to win the Nobel Peace Prize, are more important to him than preventing the slaughter of the Druze, more important to him than stopping Israeli Druze from crossing into Syria, something that would greatly escalate fighting and bloodshed. Huckabee also chimed in, blasting Israel for withholding visas from evangelical groups. It seems that Israel wants to first ensure the groups don't plan to missionize, but Huckabee seems insensitive to Israel's concerns. He's so insensitive. They just want to make sure that Christians don't spread their religion. He's so insensitive to that concern. You know, they want to make sure that you're just not able to actually express your religious views in their accepting an open and tolerant state. Amazing. Trump decided to bomb Iran's nuclear sites, and that's commendable. But reports later surfaced that he rejected the option to bomb for a week's time in order to finish off all the sites. Thus, only Fordow was severely damaged, while other sites only had minimal or no damage. So you see, with everything Trump has done, with everything Trump has committed for Israel, they are not satisfied. It's not enough for them. He bombed Iran, yeah, but only once. He was supposed to bomb for a whole week. He's supposed to be bombing to this day. They're supposed to have boots on the ground. The scumbag. He was mad that Israel was bombing Syria. How dare he? They don't like that Israel's blocking evangelical groups from entering into their country. The temerity of the Huckabees. And so now the Epstein list is going to be a big problem for you. That's what you get for messing with Israel. And by the way, what I just said, pretty much verbatim, the next line. Okay, so they run through all these things about how the Trump administration, despite being suicidally committed to Israel, they're not doing enough. It's not enough. They occasionally criticize Bibi Netanyahu, and therefore, quote, and now some old files are threatening him. Perhaps Trump will realize that it doesn't pay to start up with Israel. Perhaps those implicated in the files will express contrition and regret. Because when, by divine providence, things were hidden become revealed, it enables people to correct their mistakes and to endeavor to live their lives properly the way God wants them to. And everyone sees that the world is not a jungle and that God Almighty runs the world with compassion, giving humans the ability to fix what's wrong so we can have peace with true ethics, as God told Moses at Mount Sinai to tell all the nations to adhere to the 7 Noahide laws. A peaceful world which will be filled of awareness with God just as the waters cover the sea, and it may happen soon. 7 Noahide laws. So they're telling you, pretty much verbatim, because Trump is not sufficiently pro-Israel, because he's criticizing Netanyahu, and because his administration is not willfully going along with the discrimination against Christians in Israel, now the Epstein files are haunting them. And maybe one day they'll, you know, repent for how they treated Israel, and then Israel will leave them alone. Because to them, whatever they do is God's will. Understand that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm cutting this on the afternoon of July 30th, 2025. You have 7 days from this date to buy one bottle of any of our amazing supplements, the Ultramethylene Blue, the Irish Sea Moss, the Shilajit, the list goes on and on, Ultimate Life Force, and get a bottle absolutely free. But you got to be a VIP. But that's the best part. This catch is a great deal. You spend $30 a month being a subscriber, you cancel any time, and you get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers just sent to you, and you can cancel any time. So you make $10 by becoming a subscriber. You can cancel any time. It's only running for 7 days. Experience Ultramethylene Blue. Experience the other incredible supplements. But also, the buy one, get one free goes for the ball caps, the t-shirts, the widest selection of Patriot apparel. Those of you who've ever gotten products, now's the time. It'll blow you away. Get the Methylene Blue, bare minimum, at thealexofstore.com.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. Third hour of American Journal is on. I want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com, to support everything that we do here, which is just, tell you the truth, just react in perfect sincerity to the news that is being presented. Always with the touchstone in the ultimate grounding, principled stance of being pro-America, embodying the spirit of 1776, understanding that for anybody of any race, color, and creed to thrive, then we all have to share in equal account the benefits of this great country, and that by submitting ourselves to foreign powers and by allowing foreign powers to infiltrate our country, our government has been turned against us, and we have to reseize it so that we can, against all odds, peacefully regain power in this world and start to benefit humanity rather than work in abject opposition to the free will of our fellow humans. So please, for the love of goodness, go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Keep us on the air, in the fight, in continuing to deal with this huge and ever-expanding landscape of double dealing and deception and manipulation and psychological operations that we refer to as the American government and its various subsidiaries. Now, we're having a little trouble connecting with our guest, Brian Bodine, so that's not good news. The good news is we get to take your calls. But I think we need to give more attention to articles like this, where they pretty much say without really any, you know, disguise, that basically because Iran, because Trump didn't bomb Iran for a week straight, because he complained about them bombing churches, because they're making official statements castigating Israel for their discrimination against Christian groups, well, now the Epstein files are a big problem for him. You know, that's another aspect of this where it's like, if they were just honest, like Trump is blaming the Democrats about the Epstein files, which is ridiculous, and everybody knows it. Everybody knows it's everybody on the right that wants the Epstein files. Everybody knows that the concept of the topic of elite pedophilia was never a pet topic of the Democrats, ever. And so why would he say that? You know, maybe the reality is it wasn't Obama and Biden that changed the files or inserted stuff or whatever the claim is. Maybe it's Israel. And if that's the case, why didn't he just say that? You know, I just want to, and like on the topic of like InfoWars and our position and like where we're coming from, I want to remind you that the smears that we're currently being subjected to are not anything new. And they're taking the same tack and they're using the same argumentative techniques that they used in the early 2000s in the war on terror, when at the time they were calling Alex Jones a communist and saying that you know, we were some sort of leftist infiltration into the right wing because we were against the wars, because there were no weapons of mass destruction and it wasn't beneficial to America and it was all predicated on lies. Claims that we have been absolutely verified in, absolutely confirmed, absolute vindication in everything that we believed, despite all the names they called us, despite all the lies they told. Now you look back and everybody knows that we were right the whole time. And we're in that situation again. And so I mentioned the article earlier. Here it's on Front Page Magazine. It's posted by Mark Levin. It's a story by Daniel Greenfield. Getting MAGA to go left on Israel. There's no civil war within MAGA over Israel. There's only leftist infiltration. That's right, folks. Leftists. Leftist infiltration. Okay, so that's the tack they're going with, is if you don't support Israel, it's because you're a leftist. And they expect that to work on right-wingers. Like I said, it's the exact same tactic that they used to, you know, drum up the war with Iran. Oh, you're against, or war with Iraq. Oh, you're against the war with Iraq. You must be a leftist. You must be a liberal. You must be a bleeding heart socialist. That's the only reason you would be against this fake war to kill a million people over weapons that don't exist. It's because you're a leftist. And the only reason you could possibly want to not see children starving to death in some godforsaken open-air prison in the desert, because you must be a left, you must be a socialist, you must be a bleeding heart liberal. Are you being pressured yet? Are you succumbing to the peer pressure? You're supposed to feel bad. You're supposed to feel like, oh, I'm not. You're supposed to feel offensive. I'm not a leftist. No, I mean, I love Israel. I mean, I never said I was anti. I just don't like how they're killing children. But I'll shut up. I'll shut up if that's left wing of me. It's like this is not going to work. It's not going. I hope it doesn't work. I hope we've learned the lesson from the last 30 years that you don't succumb to this type of rhetorical nonsense. You just say, shut up. I'm more right-wing than you. I'm way more right-wing than you ever have been. So call it leftist infiltration if you want. You're only discrediting yourself, not me. With that, we got to your calls. Patriot in the mountains. Mountain Patriot in the Rockies. Thanks for calling in. Line 7, you're on the air.
Morning, Harrison.
Good morning.
These toothless subpoenas are too little, too late. I don't think it's going anywhere. I think Trump's going to end up in a Mossad painting with a syringe sticking out of his neck and a golden pager on his belt and a Q tattooed on his forehead.
That'll complete the trilogy. You've got Bill Clinton in the blue dress, George W. Bush with the Jenga towers and the paper airplanes, and Donald Trump with the golden pager and the syringe. We've completed the trilogy, I think.
I think that's what we're going to get. It's clear at this point that Bondi's just a dumb blonde whore of Babylon. And what crazy thing is, I keep thinking about Kanye and how he was making fun of Netanyahu and with his fishing net and his little Yoo-hoo can, and he saw it coming. This guy's a monster, and it's just unreal that we're putting up with it. It's mind-blowing. I mean, a few years ago, we were looking at a civil war between the left and the right, and now it's almost like we're going to have a civil war over all of this Jewry.
And hell, the good news is there's an opportunity to break that left-right paradigm and come together and understand that we're all, I mean, and that's why I played so many clips of the, you know, people in Nebraska, where it's like, why do we need to be at each other's throats? Like, we're all pretty much on the same wavelength. It's just, you know, they think that you just need to tax the rich and like they get free healthcare and everything. But either way, the basis of the complaints is there's infinite money for everything we don't want and everything that we need. Oh, sorry, that's out of the budget. We can't handle that. It's infuriating. It's unfair. It's ridiculous. We're taxed to death to pay for stuff that doesn't help us and only helps our enemies. What is the deal here? Can we not come together? Just say America first, and we can make deals. Tell you what, you let us, you know, protect the border, because you know, obviously, the primary problem with the welfare state is that we have open borders. Like, you can't do that. You can't have an open borders and a welfare state. You can have one or the other. So like, we can make deals. Okay. We'll do some sort of subsidized healthcare situation, but in turn, we got to deport all the illegals and have, you know, strong border protection. Can we not make agreements like that, the left and the right? We give up a little bit of what they want. They give up a little bit of what we want. And together, we stop being slaves of Israel. I think we could come together on that if we really, really, really wanted to. But we don't, apparently. And with that, we'll go to your calls a little bit later in the show. But I'm very excited to welcome my guest, Brian Bodine. He is a Republican activist from Dallas, Texas, who has over a decade of professional experience in grassroots organizing, consulting, legislative advocacy, policy analysis, campaign work, and political fundraising. You can follow him on X at Brian Bodine. And Brian, you got in contact with me about sort of what we're talking about in today's show, the civil war inside the GOP. Welcome to the show, sir. How are you doing?
Thank you, Harrison. How are you? Doing okay. So what happened here this past weekend, the organization, the Young Republican National Federation, I used to be a state chairman of the state federation many years ago. And, you know, when I talk to and advise various young leaders today, they're in their 20s and 30s of this grassroots organization. It's been around for decades. In fact, Roger Stone was the national chairman many years ago in the late 1970s. And what happened in Nashville, they had their biannual convention. And the short of it is they bring together delegates from across the country, from all the various states that are organized by state chapters and by city chapters to vote on their national leadership, to hear from speakers, to network. And historically, this organization has been very center right. You know, there's always been some solid conservatives, you know, some populist types. But there was really an insurgence of what you would call MAGA populist in the last 2 to 4 years. And there never had been anything like this before. It just, you know, it didn't happen in 2016 when Trump hit the scene, but it certainly happened in the past 2 to 4 years. And they showed up at the convention. They were very strong in states like New York, even California. A lot of the big blue states were, you know, Republican activists are pissed off, you know, because like they're not getting anything. You know, not from the national Young Republican leadership and perhaps not from other things. But they showed up with the intent on voting for their candidate, Peter Gunta. He's the head of the New York State Young Republicans and, you know, involved in the Manhattan Young Republican Club, but the New York City Young Republican Club. Alex Jones has actually spoken to, I think, their dinner before, sure, if I'm not mistaken, their Christmas dinner. And so this is a very based, you know, to the right, America first type of Young Republican Club. Other Young Republican clubs in the country, you know, a lot of them are just very, you know, they're moderate, you know, they don't want to rock the boat, very much in the mold of, you know, let's just say Nikki Haley. Okay. A lot right. of them voted for Nikki Haley in their own straw poll. But what the incumbent faction did that is Rhino, it's led by Hayden Padgett, who I know well enough and who a lot of the Texas activists know, is him and his allies attempted to de-credential and take away the delegate voting powers of several states that were in favor of his opponent, Peter Gunta. And this might remind you of what happened in at an RNC convention many years ago with Ron Paul supporters being basically kind of disenfranchised at the National Republican Convention. And so that was very controversial. But and they used at this Young Republican convention, they used methods like, oh, they kind of shortened the registration process. They suddenly cut it short, saying they were at capacity. They weren't. They were trying to buy time to count votes on a credentials vote that takes place at the beginning of the convention, all on the same, you know, morning, in theory, as when the voting is going to happen. And that did not go well with the body because, you know, that other side was really worried they were going to lose. You know, the incumbent Rhino faction of the Young Republicans led by Hayden Padgett. And so this is a guy that's, you know, anybody that can do research on the internet, you go on there, you type his name in, Hayden Padgett, and it's going to pull up a video of him supporting Black Lives Matter from 2020, or right as the riots were going down, you know, shortly after George Floyd, you know, tragically died, whatever the reason was for the death. Hayden gets on YouTube and does a video basically endorsing Black Lives Matter. It's very cringe, but I think he just thought he was getting ahead of the curve. You know, and he's been all kinds of, you know, moderate on all kinds of Republican issues, just on all kinds of issues, really. And, you know, people have known this, but they wanted to push him out. They wanted to get Peter Gunta in. And you know, the methods and the tactics used at this convention by Hayden and his supporters, you know, just trying to throw people out of the convention as well, and trying to interfere with their state federations' kind of delegate selection process to prevent them from selecting delegates that supported his opponent. I mean, it's never been like this before. It's never been this bad. You know, conventions can be contested, but this was a whole nother level.
Yeah, so it seems like this is sort of another level of the Civil War within the right, because, you know, mostly what we're talking about when we talk about the Civil War on the right is the anti-Israeli versus the pro-Israel people. This seems to be less about Israel and more of just about the establishment Rhino Republicans versus sort of the, you know, resurgent or, you know, upsurging MAGA populist Republicans. Can you help break down sort of the ideological friction that's happening here?
Yeah. And, you know, again, this organization historically has been controlled by the center right. Its previous national leadership, some of them were never Trumpers. You know, they came out against Donald Trump very early, and some of them even quit, you know, once he got the Republican nomination in 2016. But the breakdown is that you got America First, you know, MAGA populist types that have joined in very large numbers, and they went to vote for Peter, a lot of them. And otherwise, you know, he wouldn't have a chance. He ended up losing very narrowly because of just the sum total of all these tactics and, you know, that they were using on the incumbent Rhino's side. And I would say that the incumbent Rhino side, that's going to be a lot of your Nikki Haley supporters, you know, globalist types, people that just don't, you know, want to rock the boat. And maybe some of them work in politics and they're worried if they, you know, take a position on anything that's too America First, you know, they might lose their job or get yelled at because they're involved in, you know, young Republicans and they're, you know, taking positions that are you know, just too far to the right, maybe. And so I think there's a little bit of fear there of rocking the boat and that America First could, you know, cause them to, I don't know, you know, lose friends in their home state just by being involved in the YRNF. But certainly, I mean, it's, when we talk about America First, okay, like we're talking about holding the Republican Party's feet to the fire, right, making sure they secure the damn border, that they don't try to abuse emergency powers if there's ever some type of a, you know, COVID-like situation again, not getting us involved in the foreign wars, you know, in Eastern Europe, questioning Israel's actions at a minimum, questioning what Israel is doing. Is it really necessary? Are they trying to drag us in? You know, are they trying to bog America down in another Middle Eastern conflict? Those are good questions. And people that are part of the America First movement, especially a lot of the young people, because, you know, when people are young, I think it's a psychology of the demographic type of thing, Harrison. It's like they want to ask questions, be bold, and that is completely warranted and fair and needed in the party. And so, the best way to break it down would be you have a bold, insurgent, truly America First faction, not like a fusionist America First where, you know, the neocons are trying to get their influence into, you know, kind of the Trump world. You know, that's not America First. I mean, well, we're dealing with this right now. It's like, it's very soft. It's like a soft coup that's going on.
Yeah, well, it seems like I'm shocked that after, you know, 10 years of Trump leading the Republican Party, just how much control the establishment still has over, you know, some of these organs. And it seems like, you know, they really are waiting for Trump to be out of the way so they can get back to business as usual. And they're like just clinging with their fingernails to these organizations by hook and crook and trick. And I mean, some of the things that, you know, have been alleged that went on at this convention where they're kicking out delegates because they know how they're going to vote and simply want to, you know, pack the room with their supporters. They're like really desperate to stop the Trump revolution from really coming to fruition. It's still the holdouts of the center right party that are really stopping us. And like, you know, the young Republicans, they should be the extremist ones, right? As you point out, I mean, you know, when the older statesmen, they'll come in and say, well, this is just the way things work and you got to work in the system. It's the young people that are like, they don't want to hear that. They want change. They want, you know, extreme, you know, movement. They want action. And you should embrace that. And you should have a radical wing of your party. The left never shies away from the radical wing of their party. For some reason, Republicans are obsessed with self-policing and making sure that, you know, the right wing doesn't go too far right. And they'll self-police and make sure to come back to the center. We need to take a book from the leftists and go, no, look, they're a little bit more radical. And we might not agree with everything. But you know, they're an important aspect of our coalition that pushes things forward. And we don't have to go as far as they do, but they help sort of stretch the perimeter in that direction. So, you know, I see this again. It's just the old Republican failures clinging on to power as long as possible. I mean, what do you think happens from here?
Yeah, and you absolutely, I think you're correct. And at a minimum, you have to be asking questions like about, you know, U.S. foreign policy and stuff like that, and have open discussions, fair discussions. And I think that's what Peter would have brought. Hayden Padgett and his faction, which prevailed on Saturday very narrowly, you know, they're the type that would shut down discussion. And so what I think happens next is that, you know, a lot of the America First, you know, resurgent type that have gotten involved in the party that supported Peter, just kind of watching X right now and talking to people, and then seeing like Tyler Bowler, he's put out some great stuff, and what Roger Stone put out on X, and even the Persistence, he had some great stuff that he put out in covering the convention. I think there's enough comments out there that people are upset enough to where they might form a new national body. And in Texas, we did that. You know, I'm aged out now, you know, but the people that I'm friends with in the Dallas Young Republicans formed an incredibly successful, you know, has more America First programming chapter in the Dallas Young Republicans, and it's called the Young Republicans of Texas. So they broke off from the YRNF. And there's a big lawsuit in the courts over the trademark, over the intellectual property, which, you know, Hayden Padgett is losing, you know, and that's going in favor of the intellectual property of Young Republicans being a term that can be used by anybody. That's just the way that the court case is going to go, it looks like, which is a good thing. And so I think there needs to be a new national Young Republican entity that is able to align more with what MAGNA is about, with what America First is about. And they can be effective where their organization's kind of mission, which is preparing, you know, the next generation of Republican leaders and candidates in the future. And then other organizations like Turning Point and others, they can be effective where their mission enables them to be. And so, yes, we take over some of these institutions and these bodies within the broader conservative world and within the Republican Party. That's a good thing. And that's how we build for the future, because Trump, you know, he's not going to be here forever.
I completely agree. And it's frankly a shame that after 10 years of Trump showing Republicans the way, the establishment Republicans are still clinging on to these organizations and these sort of legacy systems. And yeah, frankly, it's been too long. They either need to get with the program, change their own, you know, agenda to match with the Trump and the America Firsters, or we need to break off and make our own thing. I think enough is enough. And you saw, just as the crew was scrolling through some of the responses to this, from Nick Sartor to, you know, the conservative group. I mean, everybody is simply saying, you cheated, you're a cheater, you had to rig the system to stop the you know, upswing of youthful America Firsters, because you want to keep them in this box of establishment Republicanism. Enough's enough. It's been a decade. It's time to move on. And if these people can't give the program, we got to leave them behind. Brian Bodine, thank you so much for joining us. Follow Brian on X at Brian Bodine. Absolutely incredible stuff. And join these groups, folks. We got to join them. We got to take them over. They only can keep control like this because you aren't there shouting them down and making your voice heard. Brian, thank you so much for joining us and keeping us on track of this important update. Powerful stuff, folks. We'll be back on the other side with more of your phone calls, more videos, and a lot more news. Stay with us. It's the American Journal, Infowars.com, band.video. Share those links. Follow us on Twitter. Do your part. Take over the country.
I need support. We are maxed out, and I can do so much more in offense, guaranteed beat them even faster in court. And got this other stuff going on. I'll leave it that with the Justice Department, the good guys coming in, and the task force on weaponization, that I need funds. So I need you to go to thealexjonesstore.com, subscribe as your monthly donation for $30 a month as a VIP, and know you're doing that bare minimum of support, cancel any time. Not a very hard commitment. You just do it month to month. You charge $30, you're a VIP, and when you want a t-shirt or you want a supplement, you get it, because it'll just build up in your account. $40 to spend in the store. You spend 30, you get 40 automatic discounts on everything, special sales, special offers. I'm asking everyone to commit who's never supported the broadcast by buying anything to become a VIP today at thealexjonesstore.com. And then you know you're doing the monthly support. Ever have an issue, don't want to do it, cancel. One click, it's your profile. But by being a VIP, you get massive discounts, special offers, and so much more at theelectionstore.com. And it's a way to show your support. We need your backing. I am 100% dauntless. If anything, I get overheated because I've got so much energy and I'm so angry at these people and it bleeds off into my life. I need your backing. I'm backing you. Quite frankly, if you don't back me and my crew, what we're doing, you're nuts. And I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying you're crazy. Evil hates this transmission. We've got their number. And if you don't back the organizations fighting with everything they've got for you, because we're all in this together, well, you've rolled over. You've run up the white flag, quite frankly. And that's what this is. People ask, man, thanks for fighting. Thanks for never giving up. Wow, why does it break your spirit? It intensifies my spirit. To know we're up against pure evil and we're turning the tide and we're winning. And then to know that if we don't fight hard, they're going to win and commit humanity to a nightmare of evil. You think stuff's bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet. Thank me for fighting for my own future and yours collectively? There's not even a question of fighting these people. Look at them. They've got to be opposed. People tend to think being persecuted is, oh, you want to stay away from that? Oh, so you want to stay away from the fight? No, it's like John Paul Jones said when he got commissioned as the head of the U.S. Navy, right when he was starting, and he was writing to Continental Congress. He said, I only want the fastest ships. I only want to be sent into the main war zones in direct action. They said, here, it's our fastest ship. Go out. He immediately goes out and engages and takes over all these British ships, 2-3 times the size, just ramming straight into them. Well, that's what I want to do. I only want the fastest ships. I want to go directly into action. I want to go 24 hours a day. I want reporters all over the country. I want to be 50 times stronger against the enemy. I want 50 times the audience. I want victory. You think what we've done to the enemy's been effective so far? It's nothing. I have not yet begun to fight. So support yourself. Support us. Do it. Or be conscious that you didn't fight when the time was right. You hesitated. You took this as another entertainment venue, to some other show. Just more talk. This ain't talk. This is the targeting coordinates to take down the enemy. This is the Death Star plans. This is Sting, the Goblin Slayer. They hate this blade. This operation is a sword that is plunged politically, culturally, spiritually into the hearts of our enemies over and over and over again. They hate it. It's a standard of their defeat. It's a symbol of their weakness. That's what we're doing here. This is serious business. So I'm coming to you, asking you to continue to commission us in this fight. We've already delivered you more victories against the enemy than any other media operation in the world. And I'm asking you again for all of our collective futures to come to our aid now more and take your fight to the 110% level. Tell the truth. Be accurate. Stand against evil. Have courage. Until it's not even having courage, it's what you are.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. I'm going to go out to your phone calls, and I got some videos to show you as well. We'll go to calls first because you fine folks have been holding for a little while. And again, the civil war in the Republican Party, it's kind of long overdue. I mean, honestly, the first Trump administration should have been the final act of the neocon, blue blood, old school establishment Republicans. They're still clinging on. And of course, they have to, you know, slightly alter their message to, you know, convince you that they've changed, but they haven't. And you can see it in things like the young Republicans in New York rigging the election to keep a establishment figure in place. So it goes beyond, you know, just Israel, and it's about this globalist establishment resisting the nationalistic impulses of America First because it contradicts all of their globe-spanning schemes that they're running. So with that, let's go out to your calls once again. We've got Alex in Northern Virginia, and the crew just brought in the story I think you're referencing. It's from AlJazeera.com. Over 600 ex-Israeli senior security officials urged Trump to end Gaza war. More than 600 former Israeli senior officials have urged United States President Donald Trump to bring an end to Israel's war on Gaza as deaths of dozens of Palestinians from Israeli-induced starvation have caused global outrage. The appeal was made to a letter sent to Trump on Sunday. Its signatories include former Mossad chief Tamir Pardo, former Shin Bet chief Ami Ayalon, and former deputy Israeli army chief Matan Vilnei, which is shocking to learn that all of these people are such vicious and hateful anti-Semites. You would never expect. I mean, what a shocking development that the former heads of Mossad and Shin Bet and the Israeli army themselves are all trafficking in these anti-Semitic conspiracy theories about Gaza. It's shocking, Alex. What's your comment on this? 600 ex-Israeli senior security officials urging Trump to end the Gaza war. Anti-Semitism runs deep, doesn't it, Alex?
It sure. Well, stop trying to catch me. So my the deal is that they said also in that letter that there was three objectives that they needed to accomplish. Two of them have been accomplished long ago by knocking out Hamas and their governmental system. The last objective that they were trying to do is to get the hostages, and the hostages cannot be done unless it's through a ceasefire. So there's that. Now, if you don't mind, I wanted to go to the seven Noahide
laws. Yeah, that was an interesting development in this story of Trump, Israel, and the Epstein files, where it's an Israeli guy basically saying, you want to know why the Epstein files are such a problem with for Trump? It's because he's not doing what Israel wants him to do. So now the Epstein files are a problem with him. And he ends this article by saying that all nations have to adhere to the seven Noahide laws, which, if you know anything about that, those are the laws that people under Jewish rule have to adhere to. It's not the rules Jews have to adhere to. That's the Old Testament stuff. Noahide are the laws that would be all of the people who are subject of the Jews have to follow. And it's things like no idolatry, and the punishment for breaking the Noahide laws is to be beheaded. So yeah, pretty interesting to hear the Noahide laws be invoked in this article, isn't it, Alex?
Well, and on top of it all, if you don't mind, I want to read these real quick. It says to not worship idols, not to curse God, not to murder, not to commit sexual immorality, not to steal, not to eat flesh from a living animal, and to establish courts of justice. Here's what it's missing. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not lie, and thou shalt not worship no other god before me, for I am a jealous God. Right. These are the three things that is missing. So when you go to the Wailing Wall and you start rocking your head back and forth, just understand that whoever goes to the Wailing Wall has already accepted to worship another god and that god's ideology. And of course, that goes back to John 8:44.
Well, and of course, when they say no idolatry, that includes Christianity, because under the Jewish conception, you know, you're worshiping a man, you're worshiping an idol. They don't believe Jesus is God or the Messiah. So that would be in violation of the Noahide law. So adhering to the Noahide laws means Christianity is illegal.
And if you don't mind, John 8:44, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, real quick, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth. That's Cain. Cain committed the first murder. Cain committed the first lie. This is who they worship. They worship Cain.
Well, it's definitely not a set of laws I feel like adhering to. And you know, once you start looking into the Noahide laws, it is a very bizarre sort of underlying motive behind a lot of the stuff that you see. I think it was George W. Bush like signed some deal saying that America would abide by the Noahide laws with the Chabad Lubavitch rabbi, you know, back in the 2000s. And of course, the guy who wrote this article, this Yosef Janowski character, is also a very high-ranking Chabad Lubavitch member. So that's the ultimate goal of the Chabad Lubavitchers, is to basically eradicate Christianity by enforcing the Noahide laws and declaring Christ as idolatry, worshiping Christ as being idolatrous. So very, very troubling stuff, and not a set of laws that I want to or am ever going to live under or adhere to. So thanks for the call, Alex. Important stuff. Let's go to Steve in Alaska now about this, these subpoenas, this Epstein kerfuffle. Go ahead, Steve, you're on the air.
All right. So, you ever watch the horse being trained?
Yeah.
Okay. So they run it in one direction and, They stop in the middle, and then, you know, if the horse comes, then they try to establish a trust, right?
Right.
If it doesn't trust it, they run it the other direction. They keep repeating that until the trust is established. That's your Democrat and Republican Party, okay? So they run you one way. They promise you A and B. They don't deliver. So they run you the other way. They promise you X and Y. They don't deliver. And people keep falling for this stuff, and they're starting to wake up little by little. I'm one of the old school conspiracy theorists, okay?
Right.
I've known about the Israel occupation for well over 3.5 decades.
Right.
I've known that the ADL has targeted white people just like they targeted using the FBI, just like they targeted the family up in Ruby Ridge.
Yep.
Which we can't talk about because then you're white supremacist, but, you know, they just wanted to separate from society because they didn't want anything to do with the homosexuality and all the rest.
Yep.
They wanted a simple Christian lifestyle.
And there's now, there's the famous image of him wearing the Say No to Zog shirt.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and don't get me wrong. Back in the day, I was a part of that movement. I was part of the white supremacist movement. And I woke up and realized that supremacy is a lie. Because there's no actual ethnic supremacy anywhere. We all have birth defects. We all have people in our ethnicities that are less than human being. And I say less than human being, I mean that by their behavior.
Right.
So when it comes down to it, it's nice to see people start waking up to the whole Jewish thing and how they are basically controlling, funding, running our government through the Federal Reserve, private central bank. That's the third one of the United States. People better start waking up to this history fast. And they don't need to rely on Trump and the rest. Now, when it comes down to these show trials real fast, that's what they are, and we know it. They did it when, what was it, Benghazi. And you had the guy who was running all the whole Benghazi-Hillary thing, and he was screaming and yelling about, let's prosecute Hillary. They didn't prosecute anything, right?
Right.
Well, now that people are waking up to this stuff, and they're seeing, they're demanding a sacrificial lamb. Well, Hillary and Bill are old. They're pretty much useless anymore. So if and when they are put on trial, and if and when they are convicted and sacrificed, they will be the sacrificial lamb because the New World Order, the elites, have no more further use for them. So they're going to use them to appease us because too many of us are too close to the Zionist truth of control, conspiracy, and, you know, all the rest of the stuff that they really want to do to us. And they want the people to go back to sleep again. That's what they want. They don't understand. They woke the sleeping giant, and eventually people are going to want to go back to the days of Andrew Jackson. Perfect. He's one of the most, I think you guys said it yesterday, talking about the most influential presidents of America. He was probably the second most influential. He stopped the second central bank from bankrupting America. They tried to kill him. Both guns misfired. You think Trump escaped a bullet? That guy escaped too.
Right.
So, you know, in the end, people really need, and this isn't about hating Jews because it's not all Jews. This is about escaping this control of the system and those who seek to subjugate you.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, that is the ultimate, you know, lie that's kept us all in place, is that by criticizing Israel or even criticizing the ADL or AIPAC or any of these groups because they label themselves Jews, then you can't criticize them or else you hate Jews. And that's the central lie that I think is collapsing and falling down because it's ridiculous on the face of it. And we've said this a million billion times on this show and everywhere else. You just treat Jews like you treat everybody else, and you've got extremists in that religion who want to use, you know, power to eliminate their enemies. And you just don't stand for that, because that's not what America does. And we don't put laws into place to benefit one religion over another. It is an abject violation of our most fundamental principles of the republic, of that you have, you know, religious plurality. And that means not only do you get to worship how you like, you get to criticize the way other people worship. That's incumbent on freedom of speech and freedom of religion. So this whole lie of you just are driven by hate, just nobody's buying it anymore. I hope nobody's buying it anymore. And the more they scream about it, the more they claim it, the less effective it is. And in fact, the more people actually genuinely start to hate, you know, the way they're acting. So, you know, if I was to give advice to the Jewish organizations or Israel itself, it'd be chill the hell out. You got it. You got to stop doing what you're doing. Stop doubling down. Stop rubbing it in everybody's face, because you're only waking more people up. So do it or don't do it. I don't really care. I'm not Israeli and I'm not pro-Israel. So you're headed down the path to your own destruction. You're committing suicide by insisting that you never give an inch and never, you know, admit malfeasance. You never, you know, take credit for the horrible acts of your government and claim they're all lies. And it's just ridiculous. And nobody's falling for it. And everybody's wise to your act now. So you can stop or you can keep going. And the choice is entirely yours. But the way people are going to respond to it is completely natural and normal for, you know, decent Christian God-fearing people to oppose what Israel is doing is totally normal and natural. Thank you for the call, Steve. Let's go to Darren in Alberta. Alberta, Canada. Thanks for calling in, Darren. You're on the air.
Hey, hello, Harrison. How are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well. How are you?
I'm doing not too bad. The reason why I chose to call you, and I'm actually surprised that I even got in on air, is because I think out of all the InfoWars hosts, you're the most fluid individual, if I could say that, because I believe that you like to go down any avenue whatsoever to get to the truth of anything. Would I be correct in assuming that, Harrison?
Yeah, I'm glad that comes across. And I've sort of been meaning to talk about that a little bit too, because, you know, other people, if they don't have the mindset that I have, like, they get confused. Like, I posted yesterday, you know, that I liked Nick Fuentes's thing on Friday, his video on Friday. And somebody just like, oh, so you just believe everything he says? And it's like, do you not understand I have the ability to listen to things and then judge them based on all of the other context that I know? And I even talked about it a little bit with Rex yesterday. But it's just this idea that, like, yeah, I can listen to things and, you know, take what's true and leave what's false, or, you know, see it from different perspectives. It's really not that hard for me. And it's like, you've got to consider everything if you want to go down the right path. You got to look down all the paths and see which one's right. You got to go, well, here's what this guy says. Here's what this guy says. Let me weigh this against, you know, what I know with my own eyes. And then I'll come to, you know, to the truth. So, you know, I was talking about when Nick was criticizing Tucker about Nicaragua and all the South America stuff. And I was going, that doesn't sound that bad to me. I mean, it sounds like he was doing what the CIA should do, which is protect American interests overseas from encroachment by our enemies, like the Soviet Union, like that. You know, so I can listen to Nick criticize that and still understand, like, I'm not actually that against that, but I see how it fits into the wider picture. Anyway, I'm glad that comes across, because, yeah, I don't discredit anything that could be true, right?
Yeah, thank you for that, Harrison. And the actual reason why I called today is I can't even remember what I told your call screeners, because it was so long ago.
Sorry. Well, it says the legal system on a global scale.
Oh, okay. So here we are. Now, would you agree or disagree with the fact that the highest level of how we can achieve success in accomplishing anything on this planet is through the legal system? And it doesn't matter what country you're in. That's the basis of everything.
Sure.
So, I guess what I'm trying to say is I myself am embattled in a very serious legal battle right now. And the reason why I'm calling is because, well, America is embattled in a big, gigantic legal problem as well. Because America is the bastion of hope. It's like America is the symbol for the entire world to be the kind of like the template, I guess, if you could say, of what reality should even be.
Right.
If the fact that 1776 doesn't even matter anymore, because we're trapped in this reality that nothing's getting done, nobody's being prosecuted. Like I live in Canada, and our politicians are saying we have the best system of governance in the entire world. Well, that's a lie, because it's not. And then you have people from America saying, we have the best system of governance. Well, if America has the best system of governance, why is all this turmoil happening right now?
Yeah.
How can any of this be allowed to even happen? And it all boils down to the legal system. And you know what? I'm gonna name a few names here. I'm going to say Bob Barnes. Well, I love Bob Barnes. I'm happy that you guys have Bob Barnes on your program. But the reality is if Bob Barnes was a miraculous, wonderful human being that I guess is portrayed in society that he is, or through the InfoWars channel, then why hasn't anything been done? Like, what? He's a lawyer. I'm just a nobody. And I'm going to file lawsuits that are going to bring a lot of people down.
Well, you know, the problem with the legal system is, you know, it relies on submission to the legal system. And when you have everybody wanting to play fair, then it works perfectly. But the instant you have one person who wants to cut corners or try to manipulate it, then the whole thing kind of falls apart. Yeah, you know, I don't have time to show it today, but there was a video going around of a guy who was an English guy and he's living in a hotel in Bali. And I wanted to play it just to, again, illustrate, as I try to do quite often, like Americans have this delusion that like everywhere in the world is like America, and that if you just, you know, follow the rules and everything works out. And it's like, this is a very special thing that we've established here. And it's a special type of people that can actually run a system like this. And it's people that don't cut corners, don't want to screw over their neighbors, you know, will submit themselves to the law, not go out and get, you know, vigilante justice because they trust the system of justice that's in place. When all of that breaks down, you get vigilante. And so this video I wanted to show, I think it was in Bali, but it's this guy who's like, he's staying in an apartment building, and the apartment building is like, somebody's trying to do like a hostile takeover of it. And there's, you know, cops there versus the, you know, militias that the other owner hired, and they're like changing law, and it's just chaos. And it's just chaos, and eventually it just boils down to brute strength. Eventually it just comes down to who has the most number of armed people, they're going to win the conflict. And so it's just this idea that, like, can you even imagine something like this happening in America? It's so wild. It's so lawless, and, you know, might makes right. And it's so offensive to, like, you know, American sensibilities, but it's like, that's what most of the world is like. Yeah, they might have a system of law, but, like, you know, it's pay to play. And of course, America has gone more in that direction, but it's because we're becoming less like America and more like everywhere else. And we're losing this very special system of law that is actually effective and works when you have good people to run it. Now, I wanted to go to more calls, but I just got some very interesting breaking news here just delivered to me by the crews. Pam Bondi deliberates releasing secret Ghislaine Maxwell interview as pressure swells on Trump team. Attorney General Pam Bondi is weighing whether to release an audio recording of the interviews her deputy conducted with Ghislaine Maxwell last month. The Justice Department recorded its more than 9-hour sit-down with a convicted child sex trafficker, CNN reported. Amid pressure to be more transparent about the Jeffrey Epstein case, President Donald Trump's administration is considering if the court recording should be made public. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche went down to Florida last month, spent 2 days questioning Maxwell about what she knows in regards to Epstein's horrific crimes. She's currently, of course, serving out a 20-year sentence. In her cooperation with federal employees, or federal authorities, rather, the Epstein associate appears to be angling for a pardon from President Donald Trump. Her attorney, David Oscar Marcus, said after the second day of questioning concluded, they had not put in a formal request with the White House for a pardon. They said she answered all the questions, did not hold back, did not invoke the Fifth Amendment or anything else, and spoke about 100 different people related to Epstein's child sex trafficking ring. And it appears now that Pam Bondi is deliberating whether to release that information. We also have this from radaronline.com. Leaked FBI document reveals Jeffrey Epstein's secret history as an FBI informant. Jeffrey Epstein was secretly working with the U.S. government, according to to bombshell documents obtained by Radar Online. The late tycoon and pedophile, who died in jail in 2019, age 66, while awaiting trial on sex trafficking crimes, was more than just protected. He was a puppet, informant, and spy for the FBI, added an intelligence agency source. A 2008 internal file obtained through a successful Freedom of Information Act show Epstein was operating as an FBI informant prior to his now infamous 2007 sweetheart plea deal. Epstein has also provided information to the FBI as agreed upon. The special agent, whose name was redacted, wrote on an internal cable dated September 9th, 2008, marked routine. It added, case agent advised that no federal prosecution will occur in this matter as long as Epstein continues to uphold his agreement with the state of Florida. That bargain struck the Department of Justice when Epstein was facing potential federal charges for trafficking minors across state lines allowed him to plead guilty to reduced state-level charges in Florida, serving just 13 months in jail, much of it under work release. The agreement was infamous not only for its leniency, but also granting immunity to Epstein's alleged co-conspirators for being concluded before all the victims had even been interviewed or his electronics seized by authorities. The heart of the deal was Alex Acosta, then U.S. Attorney for Southern District of Florida. Acosta, now 56, would later resign as Donald Trump's labor secretary after scrutiny of his role in the Epstein case intensified. Not to mention that Pam Bondi was involved back then as well. A source close to the case told the masthead, these are smoking gun documents. They show Epstein was an active source for the FBI way before his plea deal in 2007. And it notes emails between Marie Villafania, Nesbitt Kirkendall, and Jason Richards regarding review of evidence received pursuant to subpoenas and planned interviews of potential victim witnesses. The revelation has reignited longstanding suspicions that Epstein's immunity was not the result of powerful lawyers or elite connections alone, but due to his value as an intelligence asset. One source familiar with the investigation said the real reason the FBI has been stonewalling for years is because these files blow up the official story. Epstein wasn't just evading justice, he was helping them. And so apparently you've got it being admitted that he was a FBI informant. Jeffrey Epstein sold Prince Andrew's secrets, new book claims. Epstein remained Mar-a-Lago member long after indictment for sex crimes is another headline here. So, you know, the Epstein story continues to embroil Trump. I do have to wonder how much of that is just literally pressure from the Israelis to get Trump to do what he wants by, you know, being the source of the information about Epstein, and of course still being very much in control of not just the intelligence community here, but the mainstream media as well. What a crazy world, folks.
This is a major alert for the AlexJonesStore.com. I'm cutting this on the afternoon of July 30th, 2025. That means you've got 7 days to get the biggest deals ever if you're a VIP. It's $30 a month. You get $40 for the store, special deals, special offers, special savings. And you don't just get one bottle of the supplements like Methylene Blue, get one free. You also can buy one of our amazing Richardson hats with Patriot logos and messages on it, or either t-shirts or other apparel, and get one absolutely free. I mean, this is an incredible deal. Now, this is a fundraiser shirt, but with this, we mark it up, limited edition, InfoWars fundraiser shirt, black on black, murdered out, limited edition. We're only putting the shirt out for a few months. Get your limited edition, murdered out, historic InfoWars shirt, and know you fought on the tip of the spear. It's an adventure to wear this shirt in public. Find it all right now. Biggest sale ever at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you for your support, because we cannot do this without you.
How do I explain to people that my tongue is blue? Because I love this stuff, Methylene Blue. I'm able to work like 18-hour days sometimes. This stuff is like rocket fuel.
I didn't know you were going to plug this. You even ordered it yourself, I later learned. What is the effect of our medical-grade Methylene Blue been on you, Roger?
Incredible, both physical and mental energy and focus. I mean, it really is like rocket fuel. Oh, you still like Brain Force? Back when I did the show with Owen Schroyer, the original, the real War Room, I was a big aficionado of Brain Force and Brain Force Plus. This is even a greater product. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Well, I've not had any since Friday. I only take it every couple of days. So I'm going to take my dose of Methylene Blue, my Topo Chico. It is amazing. And people ask me, what does it do? It cleans out your mitochondria. It skips the oxidization process in the cell. It's like iodine to the next level. It is such a game changer. Roger Stone, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. God bless you.